Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, invaluable. Sales staff that works with you because your trade-in's never been worth more. And a service department that makes it one-stop shopping. And I don't care whether it's routine, whether it's an inspection, difficult, they can handle it. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call of the day.
Nice block by Brown Jr. And here comes Joel, big man behind the back, wanting to go coast to coast. What a finish by Joel Embiid. Embiid wants it back. He's already got 40. Looking for 42. Got it.
My goodness.
Shot clock at 5.
Gotta go.
Embiid sees it for 3. Absolutely unguardable. As he waves to the crowd after tying his career high. And even 50 for Joel Embiid tonight.
Sixers lost. No, I'm just kidding. Joel Embiid, 50 points, 27 minutes, and the great work. Isn't Kate Scott good?
Oh, I've been loving her all year. Her and Alav turned into a terrific team.
Not surprising. And at some point when she's not as busy, we'll get Kate back on the show. I think she is terrific. Okay. We're going to get to Chris Mack in a moment, but I want to at least get to our email questions. Rumor here in the Deep South, Hines Ward being considered for wide receiver coach at UJGA. Heard that at Atlanta Sports Radio. Okay. And he would be a good wide receiver coach because, for one thing, you know, the Georgia wide receivers will walk out of there knowing how to block. How about that? I mean, because Hines Ward was a great blocker as well as being an excellent receiver. Dave and Jameson asked these questions. Are Noah Kane transferred to LSU? Are players allowed to talk to other coaches, even indirectly through an agent or a friend, before they go into the portal? Does it matter who contacts whom? Players are not allowed to talk to them. Coaches are not allowed to contact them. That's tampering. But through, I talked to your dad. I talked to a friend. They stay in contact. Yeah, they can do that. But you can't call up and go, hey, you want to come to LSU? Can't do that. It's tampering. But you can, through a lot of different contacts, right, get word to the player you're interested. Do coaches actively recruit players in the transfer portal? Right? Well, once they go into the portal, absolutely. Once their name's put into the portal, you're now free game and everybody can recruit you. Can players recruit other players whether they're in the transfer portal or not? Well, they're always doing it anyway. Your players are your best recruiters anyway. So, yeah, can they? Yeah, they can. There's nothing stopping a player from doing it. But there is everything stopping a coach from doing it. It's tampering. Let's see. NFL coaching moves. How many times did Joe Paterno get NFL offers? I want to say it's the Patriots. The Raiders talked to him at one point. The Giants talked to him at one point. The Steelers did. I thought it was as many as 5. Right, the Patriots being the most serious, but there were 5 different times Joe was contacted by the NFL. How did he handle it? He almost took the Patriots job, went to sleep thinking he was going to be the Patriots head coach, woke up the next day and decided to stay at Penn State. That's as close as he got. And we all know Saturday is 10 years since he passed away. Jack Ham, only NFL Hall of Famer where Joe gave, is Jack Ham the only Hall of Famer Joe gave the intro speech for? Yes. He is the only one. How did Jack handle that week and what traits of his would transfer to today's linebacking game? Every single linebacker in today's game could learn from Jack Ham. He's the smartest player out there. All of them can. Proper depth of a drop, how to attack the running game, gaps, angles, understanding depth, and understanding angles. They could all benefit from Jack there. And, you know, Joe, in spring practice, when Jack was a freshman, he put Jack into the starting lineup. He said that gave him that shot of confidence he absolutely needed. That's why a big reason why he asked Joe to be his presenter. And they're always so close. Let's see. Going to be a good game mishap story that we haven't heard of yet. Elevators broken at hotel, snow, weather, Joe versus the official, bus route delays, things like that. I love hearing about those. I will do that another time because there are a bunch of them. Like, you know, hey, we're going to take two planes to Northwestern. Only one showed up. I had to wait for the other one, and Joe pacing back and forth on the hotel. Elevators, yeah, obviously there's been at times where elevators got stuck at the hotel. There's no question about that. They lost a player at Bedcheck once in Philadelphia. They finally found him. You know, all sorts of stuff. All right. Like that. So I hope I answered all those questions. All right, let's get Chris Mack in now. Sir, pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Good to be back, Steve. Now you put pressure on me to actually have something.
I know. Well, that's I will lead you in that direction.
There we go. That's why you're the master. Okay. There you go.
So let's start with this lead. 18 years. Ben Roethlisberger was a primary reason why the Steelers stayed relevant. As you look back on his career, right, what were some of the characteristics of that career that Pittsburgh fans should appreciate?
I mean, first and foremost, it starts with a guy coming in as a rookie off the bench, going from third-string quarterback to starter in a matter of about 2 or 3 weeks, being thrown in there and then rattling off the 13 wins in a row or whatever it was, and going to the AFC Championship game. And then sort of, I guess, adjusting on the fly as he got older to becoming less of that scrambling, extending the play quarterback to the guy that was just a distributor, you know, distributing the ball to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and, and then eventually the guy who, you know, stood back there in the pocket and as ugly as it may have been last year, still got them to an 11-0 start because he was getting rid of the ball in 2.2 seconds every snap. And I think also off the field, a guy who, look, there will always be the stories that everyone in the Pittsburgh region has about some sort of negative run-in with young Ben Roethlisberger. You know, there's a litany of them.
Yep.
And you don't even necessarily have to be from Pittsburgh. You can be from Georgia or Reno or somewhere else. And I think what I take away is that even though you still don't hear, you don't hear those as much, I would take away that he did mature somewhat over the years, you know. Off the field as well, and I think that lent itself to a few leadership qualities here and there. Look, the guy was never fully beloved by his teammates, but they loved the fact that they were winners when he was back there. You know, I give him some credit for maturing over the years. I give him a ton of credit for being the first rookie, I believe it was, to ever play in a conference championship, and the first year starter to ever go to a Super Bowl. It's a pretty remarkable career, and to do it all with one team, that's what ultimately he goes down as, is a guy who played with one team at quarterback longer than anybody else.
Right. No question. He will have all that and more, but he kept them relevant. Now, for the first time an offseason in 18 years where you're not going to look back there and Seven's not going to be there. Do the Steelers now fall into the trap that I'd say 29 out of the 32 teams in the NFL have fallen into? Patriots, Packers, Steelers aside, the other ones have had okay, good run. All right, fall below, get a high draft pick, bad, you know, better schedule bump, back up again. Are the Steelers in danger of that potential?
I certainly think there's a chance, you know. I think if they go into next year with just Rudolph and Haskins battling for that starting quarterback spot, then I think they would be putting themselves behind the eight ball. I think, you know, there's a chance that either one of those guys could come in and perform at least as well as Roethlisberger did this year. I mean, nobody's going to walk away from the 2021 season pretending Ben Roethlisberger was still the elite quarterback he once was. He ended up being bottom third in the league in most statistical categories, if not bottom five in a lot of them. So with their defense, and they'll get some guys back next year, presumably, with their defense and the weapons that they do have at receiver and Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth, of course, the funny thing is, even with Rudolph or Haskins, they could still scratch out nine wins and somehow sneak into a wild card. So I don't think they're in danger of spending, you know, a few years in a row in that 6-11 spot. I do think maybe a year, you know, that's certainly a distinct possibility. Again, if one of those two guys ends up being their primary option, a quarterback, or both of those guys kind of battle back and forth for the job and there's no veteran stopgap to lend some consistency, I could see it happening for a year or two, but that really is at maximum, I think, the deepest depths they go to, because ultimately they've still got T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, and they've still got Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth.
Is the fan base, though, ready for a reset?
I think the fan base is slowly coming around to the fact, and I've seen a lot more people espousing this thought in the last few days, that this was the beginning of the rebuild, right? When you look at five new starters on the offensive line, you're essentially telling yourself you're rebuilding, you know? And so I think when you look at the five new starters on the offensive line, two rookies starting at very important positions, you know, tailback and tight end, and knowing that your quarterback was on fumes, it was essentially the start of a rebuild. They just so happened to somehow get into the playoffs. Whether you want to argue it's because of the expanded field, because of the tie, because of whatever it was, they somehow snuck into the playoffs. So if that's the worst Steeler fans have to deal with, is sneaking into the playoffs in a year where they were essentially trying to start sort of soft launch into a rebuild, then they'll be in good shape, I think.
Chris, here are two issues, though, they do face that are out of their control at the moment. One is, they're going to get a second-place schedule and not a last-place schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they're going to be drafting in the 20s again. So they're not going, without Ben, they're not going to get the benefits that, for example, Philadelphia had a last-place schedule, and boy, did it ever pay off.
Right.
They're going to end up with three first-round draft picks out of this, but they're not going to get a high top-10 draft pick because of what they've been doing. You know, you have to play each season the way it plays out, so there's no problem with that. I'm just saying that those are two benefits they will not have.
Yeah, and they're not in the NFC East either.
No, that's
so
just
the Eagles down the stretch.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
they're in an up-and-coming division, whether you like what the Browns have at quarterback or not. Their defense is still very good. Whether you like what the Ravens have on defense or offensive line or not, they've still got Lamar Jackson. And I don't think there's anything you can really openly dislike about the Bengals, given the way they're playing right now. So good luck in that division, too. You know, they had a first-place schedule this year, and like I said, they still somehow managed to scratch out nine wins. Now, that was also playing the NFC North, where they went, they went 1-2-1 against that division, actually.
Right.
So, I see what you're saying. I do think, again, you know, the organization – and I get this from some of the things that Mike Tomlin said Tuesday during his final press conference of the year, and just from the way fans are reacting to a lot of it. Everyone understands, I think, exactly where they're at, and that quarterback is going to be a project for a while, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line is an ongoing project. I think people are more worried about the things that are popping up that they didn't come into this season expecting to be deficiencies. Inside linebacker, you know, Devin Bush is not what they traded for, up 10 spots. You know, Joe Schobert is not the guy they traded a fifth-round pick for during training camp. Right. Their inside backers are, I mean, when Robert Spillane is the best of your inside linebackers, and he's a free agent, you're in trouble. When your wide receivers, all of a sudden that room's become very thin. As far as guys that you're totally and supremely 110% confident in, you can't count on Deontay Johnson to catch the ball. We're back there with him.
Yep.
You can't count on Chase Claypool to do much more than sprint down the sidelines and jump really high and try to draw a defensive pass interference. You can't count on Juju Smith-Schuster to be back. And if he is back, what's he giving you other than maybe another target over the middle? All of a sudden, they've gotten very thin at receiver. And this offense, again, has been dialed back to the point where, regardless of who the quarterback is, they're going to be asked to do a whole lot, basically on the backs of Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth again.
When T.J. Watt was available, he played at an incredibly high level, but that's when he was available. You watched him every game. What has made him special to what they do, and does he have the versatility to do more?
I think they found the sweet spot, and I don't know how much more they could really ask him to do. He has become, I think, you know, the premier edge rusher in the NFL. You don't tie the sack record without becoming the best or one of the two or three best in the league at what you do.
Right.
That's why they paid him the way they did, and it's the best decision they've made in the past year or so, deciding to pay T.J. Watt enough to keep him around for the bulk of what's left of his career, or productive years of his career. I think I'm more concerned with, again, what they're building around him on the rest of the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. They like Alex Highsmith, the other edge rusher.
Yeah, no, he's good.
He's going to continue to develop. He did a great job of putting on a ton of muscle this past offseason and not losing any speed.
It sounds like you.
muscle. That's exactly what it is.
More speed. I'm impressed.
maybe speed in the tailgate parking lot as far as consuming beverages.
Yes.
But that hole at inside linebacker is a big dark one for them.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they don't know where they stand with Stephon Tuitt, who didn't play at all this year. Tyson Alualu might come back, but he's going to be 35. Cam Hayward's going to be 33 next year. He's coming off the best year of his career, but still, 33. Joe Hayden might be gone. You know, and if he is back, it's probably only for one more year. He's going to be 33 as well. All of a sudden, there are spots popping up everywhere, and they've become a very top-heavy defense. It's Watt, Hayward, Fitzpatrick, and then a bunch of other guys, especially if Hayden is gone. And they can't count on T.J. Watt to do it all. Certainly, it helps to have a guy like T.J. Watt, but if you're that top-heavy on defense, I think it does create a problem. But they do have the benefit of more than enough cap space this year that if they want to go out and sign free agents, whether it be on the offensive line or defensive line, corner, inside backer, strong safety, that they can do those things and still have the luxury of drafting as well.
What about the cap room that they have? Now, I know Roethlisberger played under a different contract this year. Watt's contract, obviously, is huge. So where are they on cap space with this? Now, it should be more because the cap's going to obviously go up.
Yeah, the cap's going way up. So they're somewhere, depending on how you define it, based on the 53-man roster, what they have on the books, the top 40 or top 51 rule, I think, is what you go by in the offseason. They've got somewhere around $34 million, $34 to $40 million of cap space right now.
Right.
Now, you are, to your point, Roethlisberger, Juju Smith-Schuster, Eric Ebron all have voidable years on the end of their 2021 deals that will end up rolling up into this year's cap. But it's not enough to really hamstring them. Those were small amounts that were put on those voidable years. It was just to sort of spread the bonus hit out. So they're still in a decent position. Yes, it's the first year of T.J. Watt's big cap hit. It's also a big cap hit for Cam Hayward, the first really big cap hit kicking into his contract extension. They'll get Minkah Fitzpatrick on, you know, a rookie contract for one more year. But they've got to extend him, so that contract will start to kick in after at 2023 and beyond. I think they've got enough space. Like I said, I would love to see them this offseason Provide insurance in free agency, because free agency starts 6 weeks before the draft. You have no idea how the draft is going to shake out.
Right.
Go into free agency, get yourself a quality offensive lineman, whether it be a tackle or at center. Get yourself a veteran complementary running back so that Najee Harris doesn't have to touch the ball 500 times next year. Get yourself maybe a complementary veteran inside linebacker or another defensive line piece or a corner. I'm not saying you have to sign all those things, because then you very quickly run out of cap space.
Yeah.
But a couple of those spots, maybe a veteran quarterback, you know, depending on what they're looking for, somebody to come in and, you know, put some pressure on Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins to actually buckle down and become that guy that each of them thinks they can become. And then allow yourself the luxury when you go in at 20th overall, because you have no idea what's going to slide to you there, to actually take the best possible player available to you.
All right. And finally, about Kevin Colbert, who's been there for so much of all of this. This will be what the last draft he does, I believe, for the, for the Steelers. Is there an appreciation in the city for actually what he has done? Because I point out the Patriots and the Packers. The Steelers, those are the only three that have stayed relevant for 20 years.
Yeah, I think it helps, too, to be honest. You know how provincial Pittsburghers are. They love the fact that Kevin's a Pittsburgher, you know, a North Catholic guy. They love the fact that he's, to be honest, one of the nicest guys I've ever met in the world of sports. He's just down to earth. And, you know, not a lot of BS from him. He's going to tell you, for the most part, exactly what he thinks. You remember last year or 2 years ago when he got absolutely skewered by the national media for saying it was Ben and 52 kids in the locker room, right?
Yeah, right.
He's telling you what he thinks. And so I think what the Steelers have the luxury of, and look, some fans don't like this, but this is always what they've done and always what they will do, and it's become a part of their DNA and how they handle things, is they will look to promote from within. It's what they'll do with defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It's what they did at offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
When they brought in Matt Canada as the QB's coach, let Fietner go, Canada elevated. Mm-hmm. They brought in Terrell Austin a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He'll elevate to defensive coordinator when Keith Butler inevitably announces his retirement this offseason. Brandon Hunt is their director of player personnel, another Pittsburgh guy. He's going to be elevated to GM. Maybe not with some of the same exclusive powers that Kevin Colbert has right now, and work more in concert with Omar Khan, the cap guy, and Mike Tomlin, who already has a lot of say in personnel matters, but he'll be elevated. That's the way they do things. They have people who have become a part of their philosophies, who understand their philosophies. Again, some fans don't like that. They want new blood. They want a hotshot coordinator. They want someone to come in with new, fresh ideas, and at times, I'll be honest, the Steelers look like they need some new, fresh ideas, especially when you see the offensive game plans in particular. But I think being able to pass things along from Kevin Colbert to Brandon Hunt will be a part of, you know, you won't have to worry about the draft going one way and then a new GM coming in and wanting to completely blow things up.
New fresh ideas. I mean, it sounds like I'm in a staff meeting. All right, so it's Chris. Chris, thanks so much. Appreciate you, and it was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Steve. We'll hope to talk again soon.
I hope so.
The final half hour, we'll run through our picks. For Matt, the ability to score big this weekend because he won't be burdened by being forced to make an Eagles pick. I mean, really, that dragged you into the abyss.
My lone loss.
Well, somebody had to go undefeated.
That is exactly right.
It's amazing when you're not picking with bias. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory, a wide variety, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is critical. Sales staff that customer service means everything to them. And your trade-in, by the way, has never been worth more. And a service department that makes it one-stop shopping. They are great at inspections, great at routine maintenance, great at the difficult. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the king.
Hi. Hey, how's it going?
It's okay. I'm hanging in there. Getting ready to go to Iowa. Getting ready to pack up all the warm gear and go to Iowa.
Yeah, he's dealing with negative 11 temperatures.
Does Sunbury have used vehicles?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pre-owned vehicles. Yep.
I mean, I can't buy it there. I'm looking for, because of where we live, when it snows, like today, we're trapped. And I need a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Oh, they got it. Sunbury Motors has them.
Oh, my God, Steve. I'm telling you. They want some of these vehicles, they want more for them used than they were when they were new.
Yeah.
It's insane. I'm like, I've got to find somebody who's got an honest deal.
Well,
it'd be worth driving there to buy one.
Darn right it would be. Yep. You know,
I'm
the best.
Serious, because we need one. And, I mean, they have one. The one was $27,000. And Claire says, wow, that's not bad. I said, it's a 2005.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
I'm like, it's 17 years old. $27,000? It's 17 years old. The parts in it are 17 years old. I don't care if it was one owner or 10 owners. It's going to break. You know, it will break with me.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I mean, the parts I'm working with are 64 years old. So I'm hanging in there.
Well, the cars I've got 500,000 miles worth of vehicles out in the parking lot. I got a fleet of four vehicles, and I'm running out of mileage on them. But none of them are four-wheel drive. And, man, when it snows out in stores, forget about it. Yeah. It is, you only have a choice of two roads, and you've got to come down out of that hill or whatever. And there's no breakdown lane. So if you mess up, you're either in a guardrail or over the edge. So whatever.
Those are not good options.
I would drive out to Sunbury just to...
Do it.
Look at their vehicles, because around here, it's a friggin' joke. I can't.
Well, that's where I'm buying my next one from, so.
Pick a Friday and come down here and do the show, and then go get your car.
It's a plan. It could be a very good plan, because, I mean, I will, at that point, pay cash for it. So, but I want a decent vehicle that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't deal with somebody getting more money for the vehicle that's 10 years old than it was when it was brand new. What happened to appreciation, you know?
Yeah. Well,
anyway, that's just my old... I'm in the same boat the rest of the world's in right now.
Yeah.
So we'll deal with it. So.
That's okay. That's how I feel about going to Iowa City, where it's going to be 11 below zero.
The
men's volleyball coach, good friend of mine, Mark Pavlik, who's been here for decades. Right now they're ranked number two in the country. So they've got matches at USC and UCLA. So he's in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He texted me a half hour ago, and the text only said this: 74. I texted him back. I said, "You dirty dog." He texted me back. He says, "Yes, but I'm a warm, dirty dog." I said,
"Didn't come back."
Right. And I texted him and I said, "I'll text you from Iowa City." He texted back, "If you must."
It's miserable here. Each year you get older, it gets worse. Oh, why?
Yeah.
I can't stand it. And then where I live now, geez, I'm crow. I mean, I risk my life to come to work. So.
Yeah. Well, every time something like this comes up, I know obviously it's the Big Ten is for the best and it's more lucrative, and I'm a big Big Ten person. I really am.
Yeah.
But games like this come up, and I'll think to myself, You couldn't have considered the ACC?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I could be going,
Tar Heels, you know?
I could be going to Coral Gables.
I could hear the call now. Touchdown, Tar Heels! He finally packed it in and left, you know?
Like, we couldn't have been playing a road game at Coral Gables?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Coral Gables,
Iowa City?
Didn't you
have one tournament, like, on some Caribbean island or in Mexico or something?
I did, in Cancun.
Oh,
like,
man.
In Cancun. Did two games in Cancun. Flew back Thanksgiving night.
Ooh.
Saturday was in Beaver Stadium for a game with Maryland. And I think the temperature was 28.
That's got to be a shocker.
Oh.
My.
Oh, there's an additional story to it, which I'll tell you off the air. Matt
yeah,
knows
we
the story.
Talk about it. You talked on Helen, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That was nice. Man, I enjoyed that. She's so nice. The news she had wasn't great, but.
Right, yeah. But it was already news I knew, so.
Had you seen him?
If people don't realize, my father's cousin who lived here in State College passed away last month. Had I seen him? I had not seen him in a couple of years.
Okay.
But I'd seen him periodically over time. I went over the house a couple times. I ran into him in the store a few times. You know, things like that.
I wet their bed. Remember that?
Yeah, but I wasn't going to get into that story.
That's the weekend we called the janitor, right?
Yes, that's the same weekend we had the penance that we stayed at.
Older Uncle Phil's house, and I wet the bed.
F-O-U-L-E-D,
I think right now the audience is on a need-to-know basis, and I don't think they need to know. Back with more in a moment.
I was 16.
That makes it even worse. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No good! No good! No good!
All right. We'll transition to football. I just feel it's a safer topic.
Yeah, let's do that. Well,
just gotta be real.
Just
you
me.
Know?
I'm just using my fond memories,
and that's my memory.
Mom was so mad
at me. Oh my God.
It wasn't the last time either. All right, so
no, it wasn't.
Let's get to picks.
Yeah, there were a lot of teams that were close to that last week, but we'll see what happens this week. Steve though didn't. He was 6-0. You and I, King, were 5-1.
5-1. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I took the Patriots. I mean, that was a.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Patriots, that the Buffalo scored a touchdown every time they got the ball?
Yep.
And in two games have not punted against the Patriots.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, so much for blaming Mac Jones for stuff, you know.
Well, no, in fact, the Bills punter, I guess, didn't even leave the hotel.
All right, game one of divisional weekend. Here we go. Cincinnati at Tennessee, 4:35 on Saturday. Start with Steve.
I'll say this. I thought last weekend's games were easy to pick. I really did. I thought it was easy. This weekend, no. I think this weekend's hard to pick. Starting with this game, it sounds like Henry might play. That's big. I'm going to go with Tennessee, but in a close game, because you know how big I am on Burrow.
King, who you got?
I took the Titans. They're very, very well coached and disciplined, and that defense is really good. And Henry plays, he plays. If he doesn't, the Titans have shown that they can win without him. So I like the Titans.
Now, Tennessee's been playing better football. If Derrick Henry comes back, I don't think he's going to be that much of a factor. I think he'll be on a snap count, most likely. I love the way Cincinnati's offense is looking right now. They're going to be dangerous for a long, long time. Burrow,
yep.
Ja'Marr Chase, Boyd, all the other weapons he's got. Cincinnati's defense has been kind of up and down, but they're playing better. And I'm taking Cincinnati on the road to get to the AFC title game. All right, next one. Saturday night. San Fran at Green Bay and Lambeau Field. King.
I thought how poorly the Cowboys played and how bad the Cowboys were, and the 49ers should have won that game by 4 touchdowns, and they didn't. So I like the Packers in this game.
Steve?
Remember Green Bay when they went out to Santa Clara earlier in the season? That was the one where Rodgers drove them in, 37 seconds, no timeouts, and won it. It was a really good game. I think this will be relatively close, but I think Green Bay will win it. I think Green Bay is really good.
If I'm a Packer fan, I'd be a little nervous about this game because I think San Francisco has a very good chance to win. Good matchup for them, but in the end, if it's going to be a close game, which I think it will be, give me Aaron Rodgers over Kyle Shanahan any day. Green Bay.
Got a weather issue, too.
Yeah, there's that, too. All right, now we go to the Sunday games. Rams, Bucks. And for me, guys, this was the toughest of the four to pick, and they're all tough. I agree, Steve. Let's start with the King.
I always believe in you gotta beat the champion, you know? And the champion's the champion until they lose. And so the Rams, they're one of those helter-skelter teams. I'm taking the Bucks.
Steve, what say you?
Well, preseason, I picked, we had to pick our Super Bowl teams, and I picked the Chiefs and the Rams. I'm about to go off the reservation on both. because at this point, I think Tampa Bay is just better, and playing down there, I think, is really important. Tampa Bay.
Well, Steve, I had Tampa Bay and Buffalo in my preseason Super Bowl pick. I feel very nervous for the Bucks about this game. They have not been stopping the run well. Rams are running the ball very well. I think that running game has been rejuvenated with the addition of Cam Akers coming back quicker than everyone thought he would. So Matt Stafford still makes me a little nervous too as far as his turnovers, but I think he's playing better. Rams defense, I think, knows how to beat Tom Brady. So I'm getting off my bandwagon, but opposite, and I'm taking the Rams.
Good pick.
Now we go.
See, that's the difference between you and me. I'm not nervous about the game at all.
Yes, of all, as usual.
By the way, the temperature in Green Bay Saturday night, 4.
Oh. Well, there you go. But no snow, though, right?
Just like here.
No. Cold with considerable cloudiness, hypothermia likely without protective clothing.
All right.
Take Viagra. Who was that guy who said he takes Viagra when it's really cold?
Josh Allen, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that
no,
I didn't know.
Josh Allen. No, it was a. He was one of the commentators.
I
forgot who.
Bart Scott, somebody like that.
That would be tough.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that. Again, need to know basis.
That's right. Go ahead.
All right. One left. And I think it's the game of the week.
As you can tell, I'm picking the Bills, so.
There you go.
Because I said I was going to leave on both of them this weekend.
Yes, that's correct. I have Buffalo as well. Close game should be a heck of a game. But I think this is Buffalo's year, and I just think they're playing on a whole different level right now, including one Josh Allen. Buffalo.
I agree 100%. Josh Allen is... but that is the problem with Buffalo. They go as Josh Allen goes. If Josh Allen doesn't play well, they're in trouble. So,
well, that's Kansas City with Mahomes.
That being said, I'm taking Buffalo. I think they're playing on a level nobody else is. So.
That's Kansas City with Mahomes. I mean, if he doesn't play to an upper level, they struggle.
Yeah, it's just Josh Allen. I mean, the guy's a monster. I mean, he's unstoppable when he's on, and then he's on. So, do you hear what Belichick did? He went to the locker room to talk with Josh Allen after the game.
Yep.
pretty cool. Josh Allen said it was wonderful. You know,
I mean, Belichick. Look, that's why you do stuff like that away from everybody.
Yep.
Okay, and that's, believe it or not, over the years, Belichick has done a lot of that. He doesn't need to put on the show for everybody. I mean, Matt, you're enamored with the show, but I mean, there are certain people that just like, you know, some people don't.
He loves the game. He appreciates when somebody plays very well. You know, it's not.
And he praised the daylights out of that kid in the win game that the Patriots won. He says, God, that guy's good.
He loves Josh Allen. Anyway, I thought it was pretty classy what he did, you know, and nobody would have known about it if Josh Allen didn't say anything about it.
But right.
Belichick just went in quietly and had a long talk with him, you know. And Allen was just thrilled. He said, to have somebody like that tell me I'm good, I appreciate it. So, but
well, I felt the same way the day the suit said something nice to me. All right. It's like, wow, kind of made my month.
Yeah. Do me a favor and buy me a four-wheel drive truck and I'll pay you back.
Sure. I'll pop over and just say, what do you got?
Oh, okay. I
sounds
like red.
Good. Good. They got plenty of red ones.
Okay.
All right, have a great week, everybody. Back tomorrow. We got a lot going on tomorrow, including Josh Getzoff, the play-by-play voice of the Penguins, on the show tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.